afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob. Brian, Jenna, Michelle, and Jim. The others are trickling in here. Matt had to catch a call with some orders, and Rob's just goofing off as usual.
It's good. I like that. So what's on your mind?
Well, pertaining just to this, you mean?
Whatever.
I don't know.
It's been if we are honest, it's been a little bit of a struggle to get focused on it, although we are working on it. So, meaning most of the folders are being built and clients are being talked about, talked to about the process, but implementing it has just been a little slow go.
I've been using, with my conversations, more of the, exceptional, the EE, endorsement.
Oh, enthusiastically endorsed.
Endorsement, yeah. So I think I only got one this week, and everybody else was pretty much lukewarm, but I've been focusing mostly on, the other financial professionals whom they deal with, hoping that I can come up with a list of several who come up, whose name come up more than once or twice.
So you're looking
I had an idea. I had an idea this morning. I met with one of our clients this morning for breakfast at Panera, and in the course of they go there about 3 days a week, and in the course of sitting there, they had at least two people come in and interrupt our conversation who were friends of theirs, and of course, at that age, they're all talking about who died last week. But my thought was that, I should probably go hang out with them a little bit more often at Panera and maybe, put together a kind of a loose little, whatever over there where we could do a topic once a month or something and discuss it, or, sit around and have just a general discussion about the markets and investing and things like that.
We did that with my mom. She called it the chat club. And I would go sit in with them. They'd talk every night after dinner at the retirement community. And it was so fun because the people were so fascinating. A lot of them were World War II veterans and nurses that were veterans, people that had made a lot of money. Authors, they look like is a bunch of old people sitting around.
Right.
But once you start talking to them, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So it's, I wouldn't recommend it for the highest net worth marketing idea in the world, but it would be fun to do, especially if your guy is a center of influence.
One of my natural niches is, as I look at my book, is widows anyway. So, that kind of falls into that, plays into that.
Terrific.
And this is Jim, introducing, as Brian and I were talking about this morning, just slowly introducing the 12-4-2 concept to them and dripping on them and feathering that into the conversation is going to be something that, the structure and the connection that may resonate with them to say, geez, I know I'm a little older. My FA doesn't pay as much attention to me or she used to. You could work into that. This is what we do for people if you're ever interested. So I think it's a soft pitch.
Yeah.
Well, it's the next generation.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, Michelle was saying that, then, of course, you drill down from there to the next generation because that group,
right?
Well, I shouldn't say it that way, but the actuarial tables would assume that my career would last longer than them as a client.
Right. So you might ask a couple of, it'll take us too long, take us to the end of the earth to fill up the enthusiastically endorsed list by asking for one every month. So maybe you raise it to two
Oh, no, we're asking the other, like CPAs, attorneys, and, you know, if there's any other financial type professional that they're dealing with. We're trying to get three of them built out each quarter.
Good. How did everybody else do on that question?
You know, I spoke to one this past week, the new one that my client recommended. I called him, and he said, I already, you know, work with another advisor here with some mutual clients, and I already told her I'm not interested in, if she keeps asking, you know, when am I going to get a referral back, I'm not interested in that. You know, I'll do my business professionally for your clients, but I'm not interested in doing referrals back and forth. So here you have a highly qualified lead, and he's not open to the idea, you know, partnership. So how do you kind of, where does he fit on that chart?
He doesn't.
Okay.
I mean, you want a yes or a no. You don't want a maybe.
Okay.
He gave you a no. A no's great. You move on.
Yeah. Well, and he's already working a lot with another advisor here with mutual clients. So, a little difficult.
Yeah, that's fine. That's great. That's just information. You know, that's good. That's what you want. So what else is going on?
How do you deal with, like, COIs that you've connected with and you've had the conversation and you've referred business to them? I think we've asked this before, I spoke about it, but they just haven't reciprocated, especially if they're a client. You know, how do we kind of nudge them in that direction besides introducing Supernova to them? Like, without being, you know, obnoxious about it.
Well, there's a couple different ways you could do it. One is you could make Supernova a big deal to them, introduce them, show them, literally show them page by page what the folder does. Go through the 1242 and what you're going to give them. Talk about financial planning as opposed to back of the envelope planning. And then introduce the rapid response model to them. And what you're doing is you're putting your finger on the scale for them to make a decision for whether or not to refer you to someone else. So what you're doing is becoming more and more referable based on their knowledge of exactly what you do. So we call it bringing them in under the tent and showing them more of the process of what we do and how we do it. So that's one thing to do. If they're truly a center of influence, well, they're not a center of influence unless they give you introductions, right? The center of influence, to be a center of influence by definition is they like you, they trust you, they listen to you, take your advice, and they refer to you business without you asking. Everybody else is a prospect. Okay, so you have centers of influence. Our purpose in the training here is to have you identify the centers of influence. Those are people that already do this without you asking. So you should have made a list of those people. And then we want to identify whether or not, who are they? Are they just random people that like you? Do they belong to a niche? Are they a professional center of influence, or are they just a friend? So that you can leverage that relationship, meaning they already want to help you. You're just going to make it easier for them to help you. Okay, so everybody else that we're talking about here are how to develop centers of influence. They're not center of influence yet. They may be center of influence for somebody else, they're not for you. So they don't fall under the category of COI. They fall under the category of COI prospect. And all you're doing is trying to qualify them. So the person that you talked to clearly wasn't interested and therefore is not a prospect at all. So goodbye. Love you. Goodbye. Glad you're good. Okay? You're off my list. So now let's take somebody that likes you, trusts you. You've sent them business, but they've never sent you business. Different story. They need to do what you're doing, which is asking the question, the enthusiastically endorsed question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? Okay? Mm-hmm. And they're going to get one of three answers. Yes, no, or maybe. You know, he's okay. You're interested in the no, I don't like him, I'm ready for a change.
Our clients have already.
So
like,
then.
So she's already a client.
Or
I'm trying to get Sasha Price's phone number.
We have her company's plan, simple plan. Yet we haven't gotten a referral back.
Yeah.
That's the question. Where we have to be careful, obviously, in how we approach it.
Well, they're already one step of the way there as a client. So, but they've got to see the value of being a client to be able to want to refer business, right?
Right. When you've run their whole plan, yeah. So how do you approach her?
What's their position?
They're clients who own an accounting firm here in the area, and we handle their retirement and personal assets for some of them.
This is Sager Swisher.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
Thank you.
So, have they met you guys?
No.
Yeah, they're clients
right,
of ours. All of them are.
Nine.
All the employees.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you met, and you've met all of them?
Yeah, the owner is, you know, obviously the one that we speak to primarily,
sure,
but
sure,
yes,
sure,
we've
sure.
met
yeah,
each.
Sure, sure.
It's not a large office, maybe 20 employees.
But they have two locations.
Yeah, two locations.
So, which is nice. So it's two different territories around Lancaster here, Rob.
Sure. So here's what I would do. I would visit them with the purpose of really getting to know their practice better. So I would, ahead of time, have a series of questions that I wanted to ask that I didn't know the answers to. So the question is, the same questions that you'd want, you know, that you'd think of somebody would ask you. So tell me about your practice. What is your typical client size? Do you have a minimum fee? What do you specialize in? Does everybody specialize in that, or do you have different specializations? Who's your ideal client? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're interested in finding out about them because you want to refer accurately to them. You don't want to refer a small account to them, and you don't want to refer somebody that where they're not good at what the person needs. So do you see why that would be important?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the first meeting. So as much as you guys say, well, we know them, we've met them, we know them, can you answer all those questions? What's their service model? What do they do to, you know, what do they do to impress you on the service? What do they do? Well, they're probably not going to be able to tell you. Okay. So, you know, how many clients does each professional handle? Where does your business come from? Is it the 80-20 rule or is it the 50-50 rule? So you're going to walk away knowing a lot about their practice. Now, the second meeting is to come to your office. And you stand up and give your presentation based on the five-star model. So this is what the director, I'm the director of planning, and this is what we do. So anybody that you send to us, this is what we do for them. I'm the director of implementation. This is how we handle the investment process. Anybody comes to us, and this is what they will get. This is how we manage the risk, etc. Director of brand management. This is how we manage the client contact. 1242, rapid response to problem. I'm the director of marketing. This is what I do. How do we build relationships? How do we network? How do we share? We work enthusiastically endorse list, etc. I'm the managing director of the director of leadership. This is how we track every week what we're doing. We have a meeting on Monday with the marketing director, and we have a meeting on Friday with the whole team, and everybody reports in on how they're doing in their particular area of responsibility. And I report in on how we're doing overall in terms of assets and production and revenues, et cetera. Now, questions for our team. Now, do you all think they're going to be impressed?
Yeah. I think that's the way to go.
Now,
that's a good idea.
Right. And then what you do is you present, you give them a folder and go through the folder. This is what every client gets. This is how the 1242 works. And then give them a copy of my original book and say, by the way, you know, number of service organizations have been very interested in this process. We're consulting right now with the author. Here's his book as a little gift to take home with you. You can do this with any attorney firm, any CPA firm, any other firm, but you're already doing business with a firm.
Yeah, we're doing business with them already.
Right. So now you just have to have a relationship, though.
Right.
You don't have
a special discount on those book copies?
Absolutely. Yeah. I give you a third off, I think.
Oh, nice.
So buy them from us. Yeah, I get $1 a book. When you buy them from Amazon, I get $8 when you buy them from me. So buy them from me, more money for the foundation.
You got it. That's a deal.
Okay.
So is there a follow-up?
It's a long way.
Rob,
yeah. And then what you do, yes. Yeah. So remember, these are the five steps that we went over to introduce a center of influence. Okay, this is how you introduce a center of influence to your practice. Step one, get them to agree that it's a good idea. Step two, meet with their office. Step three, meet in your office. Step four, introduce them to the enthusiastically endorsed list. Step five, have your first meeting and review, have an agenda, and go through the agenda with the respective center of influence. And meet with them every month exactly the same way. So,
well, Rob.
Yeah.
I think overall it's working. We all had record months last month in January. So if you can guarantee that for the rest of the year, we're doing good.
Well, isn't it a magical thing? Seriously, you had a record month because there's a lot of things coming together for you guys. But one of the things that you'll find is when you spend more time talking to your best clients, you'll do more business.
Right.
It's shocking. You know, they did these studies, which I was always amused by, that the biggest producers spend more time with their best clients.
Right.
And I was like, big,
makes sense.
Big surprise there.
Yeah.
80-20 rule, right? Okay, so chapter 5 of the Supernova Multiplier. Remember, I wrote this book after 10 years of coaching, and in each chapter, I cover one of these strategies for growing your practice. I have stories in there, examples, and I write out exactly what you're supposed to do. Not kind of. I don't pull any punches. I don't leave anything out. I put every single idea and trick I could put into the book in the hopes that the book would be read and I wouldn't have to, frankly, repeat myself 15 times. But the average human being doesn't understand something till they've heard it 5 times. So when your clients don't get it right away, don't be surprised. You guys don't get it the first time. You know, we can go over it 2 or 3 times and it's still like fresh. Just like, oh, I didn't know that. I've never heard that. Yeah, I told you last week. So read the chapter 5 on using centers of influence to grow your practice, page 65. It's a good chapter. I put everything in there. But it's, you know, I had what I called the 5-time rule. It wasn't the financial advisor's responsibility to understand anything till I told them 5 times. Because you're busy. You're busy. You're thinking of something else. You're already planning to, you know, a vacation, or you've got a problem, or, you know, the kids are sick, or something's going on. Your brain's not working. So I don't expect you guys to get it. So I want you to ask questions. But I also want you to do the homework, okay? Read the chapters in the workbook. Watch the video and read my book, The Supernova Multiplier, because it's 10 years current from the first book. It's got everything and everything in there. So please read it, buy the audio, listen to it 5 times. And then when we talk, guys, here's the advantage, right? You need to develop skills. Skills come from practicing things properly. Okay? When you get the skills, then you use those skills with your clients, and then we have very interesting conversations because it will work. I had a conversation with the team just before you guys, the team prior to this. I've been coaching them since January 17th, 2018. So I've been their coach ever since then. And they once again told me, Rob, I have 100% closure rate with prospects when I show them the folder and I go through it page by page. Page by page. That's all. That's what they do. And I go, wow, that's amazing. I'm glad it works. And they say, oh, no, it really works. They see what we do and how we work. And they want to have that. So adopt that model. When you're talking to your center of influence, give them a folder and go through it page by page. Why? Because they'll have never seen anything like it. And they can't believe you're going to actually do this. And it's so different from what they're getting now. Your guys, they want to refer to you. They just don't know why. You've got to give them a reason. And Supernova gives them more of a reason than just stock market. Okay? You're true consultants now. helping them make better decisions. You're like a family office group or a concierge practice, serving them in multiple ways. Okay?
Got it. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, here's a good one. This is an analogy that you should use. There's a couple analogies we use, but this one is particularly good. When you're competing with another firm, tell your prospect that there are three types of firms out there that they'll be interviewing. Some are the emergency room, where it's an emergency room. You go there when you've got a problem. They've got a triage group. They're highly competent. They handle chaos. There's no planning that goes into it. They just hope to save the patient and send them back home. Then there's family medicine. And in family medicine, it's much more organized. You have appointments. You just don't walk in. You have appointments. They give you a physical. They diagnose you. They know who you are. But they've got 2,000 patients, so you may have to wait an hour and a half if there's an emergency ahead of you. It's not really customized for you. And then there's the concierge practice, where they limit the number of patients to less than, say, 200 or 100. They charge you a fee, $5,000 to $10,000. But what does that get you? It gets you a personalized physical, comprehensive physical, very complete. It also gets you an appointment anytime you want it, and you never have to wait. So you can call today and say, I want to see a doctor right now. They'll call and they'll let you come that day, that minute. Okay? And you never wait. Now, people are willing to pay for that concierge experience. $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 sometimes. You are the concierge experience. You may have been the family office practice, but now you're the concierge experience. Financial plan, 1242, rapid response to your problems. And that's the difference. And they'll like that, because some of them will already have. By the way, that's a great cross-reference. Patients of concierge physicians are great clients for us.
Okay.
So look up your concierge physicians and determine which is the most enthusiastically endorsed. Get them as a client and then have them be a center of influence for you. It's a wonderful part of your network. Think about bringing that concierge physician together for a cocktail party with CPA, attorney, cardiologist, dentist, other people that are the best of the best, but they're in your enthusiastically endorsed network, which you bring together a couple times a year. Very powerful.
I like that.
One other thing, I'll leave you with this. You're looking for marketing ideas, right? So this is a simple marketing idea through the use of the folder. Whenever you have a page in there called Introductions Given and Received, make a note, whenever you get an introduction, to write it down and put the date of that, the date it was given you. Now, never accept, by the way, never accept a name. You know, I'm going to have John Smith call you. That just doesn't work. Please don't do that. I'm going to have a guy. I have a guy. He's going to call you. Who? When? How? That's not going to work. So you want to, at best, you want to have my wife is interrupting me. All right. So you want to use a at best, it's a in-person introduction, right? Not the easiest thing to get. You want to then use a phone introduction. Still not that easy to get, but you should be able to get an internet introduction. So ask the person just to, you know, would you mind doing an internet introduction and sending us both the respective emails and phone numbers. And we can text then or email. Much better. Always close for that. Don't accept just a name or a name and a phone number. Doesn't work because you call them and they don't know who you are.
Right.
Because he hasn't bothered to tell them he's calling. You know, it's just so please, please do not accept anything but one of those three when you're doing it. Now, when you get an introduction, put down the date you got the introduction, then put down the date that they opened the relationship. Now, we're always trying to do things for our centers of influence. We're always trying to thank our clients, right? So we do these big elaborate things for our clients and do all kinds of stuff for centers of influence. The best thing you can do is to thank them. When do you thank them? On an anniversary. Because you're the only one remembering any anniversary. So the anniversary is the anniversary when they opened the relationship. So 5 years later, you call and say, thank you again for opening, for having confidence in us. It's been 5 years since we started doing business together. I wanted to just call and thank you for your confidence in us. And they'd be like, oh, I'm blown away. That's so nice.
We do it every
okay?
5 years.
They,
it's not every year,
no,
right?
Every year. Every year.
Oh, every year.
Do you know why?
Well, it's a contact.
It raises the probability that they will give you an introduction dramatically. You got about 100% chance they're not going to give you one unless you call.
Right.
Okay. You call, you maybe raise it by 20%, 30%. Now, how about the guy that gave you the introduction? Now you call him or her and say, hey, it's been 5 years since you gave me that introduction. I just wanted to tell you it's the anniversary. I called our friend John. I know he's very pleased with the work we've been doing him for the last 5 years. I want to just tell you how important that was for us. And thank you again. And he'd be like, wow, that's amazing. By the way, I got another guy for you.
Nice.
Okay? Easy
Rob,
to do, especially the – yes.
Is the onus on the client – to fill that in the folder, or is that something that we do at the, you know, at one of the two review meetings? How does that information get into the client's file when it's in their possession 24/7?
Well, yeah, I would, you know, you're in control, right? You know who they've given you, and you know who they referred you. So you write it into yours, and then ones that you've given them, you write that into theirs, and then yeah, I'd update it. I'd open it up in the folder, have them bring their folder and open it up and write them in.
Okay.
Because think about it. They're like, wow, you remembered that I didn't even remember I gave you that guy. Or I never remembered who sent me, who came, you know, I forgot how I got to you guys. Yeah, it was John, you know, John Smith. Well, that's really nice. I appreciate it. I had a guy call, one of the reasons I recommend this, I had a guy that used to call me every year on the anniversary of when I hired him. Every year. No matter where I was, he found me and called me, thanked me.
Pretty cool.
And then he called me and said, I'm retiring, so I won't be calling you anymore, but I just wanted to call and thanks one more time.
That's pretty cool.
So I never forgot that, right? What does that cost? What's the cost, marketing cost of that?
Nothing.
Just your time. That's it. And how long does it take? No time.
That's good.
You know,
all right.
And by the way, it's a great idea that nobody does, okay? So
yeah.
There's another one. You know, just because it's a good idea doesn't mean people will do it. So don't worry that everybody's doing this. They're not. If you want to really be special, send them a card. Send them a note. Personalized note, always better. If you don't want to call them, at least send them an email.
All right. Yeah, no, that sounds
okay.
Good, Rob. I like that. So, hey, Rob, did they tell you about next week? We're Brian and I are going to be traveling, so we can't do it next week.
No problem.
I sent a note to Lori.
No, that's actually, I'm traveling too, so I was going to have to do it from a hotel room, so I appreciate it.
No, thank you. Yeah, we have a meeting in Phoenix.
So we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Perfect. That'll give you time to get all caught up. Okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I'm frustrated.